We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus, and we're just glad to be coming to you by the way of radio, through the computer. However you're receiving us, we're glad to report that Jesus is still alive, and he's alive forevermore. And we're just glad that you tuned in to us, and we just hope we'll say something other that would give you an encouragement that you can press on toward the mark of the high call, like Paul spoke about it. He pressed hard towards the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. And that's what it's going to take this day and hour that we live. For if we don't press the way, we're not going to make it, my friend, because it's not a way that you can just go along any old way that you please and just think then, well, by the grace of God, we're going to make it anyhow, whether we want to or not. It doesn't work like that. We're going to have to be a part of the kingdom of God, and only the way that we're going to be able to be a part of it and even be able to hear of it or to see it or to enter in, we've got to be born again. As I've often said, you need to read your Bible and see what it has to say about the new birth. We know that Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup when he was supposed to have been the one that earned him being the oldest to have the double portion. He missed out because he sold Jacob his birthright because he thought that food was more important. But nevertheless, a lot of people today are not realizing that we need that living waters. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is that living waters. He's not come into this world to be a mockery of whatever that. A lot of people at the time that he came in, they thought that he would restore the kingdom of God to the children of Israel and make them kings and everything. But that was not his purpose. He came in the world seeking that which was lost, to save man from their sins. Not in their sins, but from their sins. And he mentioned to us in there that in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 47, that he was speaking about, Ezekiel was saying something about some living waters. He said he looked and he seen that he brought him into the place of wherein that the house of the Lord was, and he seen there, he said, we'll see what it says. It says, afterwards he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, there issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward of the forefront of the house, and stood toward the east, and the waters came out from under from the right side of the house of the south side of the altar. Then brought he out me to the way to the gate northward, and led me about in the way that which he would appear gate by the way that he looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters from the right side. Ezekiel was talking about that he was in the presence of God, in the house there, or in the place of God, and he seen water issuing out from beneath the doorway and out from beneath the altar. And he let us know that this water went into the forefront and the hinder part, and all the places wherein that the water went to, them living waters, everything come alive. A friend today, so that makes us, we need this living water. We need to know that Christ Jesus came into this world to give us life, and through that living waters, as he proclaimed on the day of the feast over, and when he was telling them there in John in the 7th chapter there, when he began to talk to them there in the last day of the feast, he said that any man thirst, let him come unto him and drink, for that he may live. So he said, let's see what it says. He said, what manner of saying in the is this that he said, ye shall seek me, I'm sorry, in the last days of the feast, that Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, because that Jesus had not yet been glorified. See, Jesus was speaking to the people at that day. It was before he was crucified. You see, God knew that as long as he dwelt in the flesh, he could not dwell with you and me, wherever we might be. But knowing that in our innermost being, you know, when you eat your food, you digest it, it goes into the digestive system, and it comes, and so does the water, and it supplies life to the other members of the body. The water gives you the part of that quenching the thirst that the natural man needs. And the food goes in to supply the strength that we need. My friend, we need this living waters. And he said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And it's got to come forth into the digestive. You got to take it into the heart. You got to eat it. As Jesus declared there on the last day there that he spent before he was crucified, when he gave the apostles the communion, as he called it, but it was the Last Supper, as it speaks about. He taken bread and wine, and he broke the bread, and he gave to them and said, this is my body, take and eat. And therefore, and he said, take the cup, that was which was wine. He said, drink this, because it was the new covenant. My friend, today we got to realize that the things that we do today is not the time that we know that we didn't eat of his natural flesh, neither did we drink of his blood, but this bread that he was talking about represented his body, which was broken for many. The wine that was in the cup that he gave to the apostles and said that this was the New Testament, the blood of the New Testament, and out of it that we have salvation. So we got to realize, my friend, today that the bread we eat of the communion we take is not his flesh, but it represents his flesh. And this is what we need to do. But it goes into the belly first, and it supplies the needs to the rest of the body. So does the waters of life, but we come to the place that we're in when he said, to any man be athirst, let him come to me and drink. Another place he says that if any man be thirsty, let him come and buy wine and bread and milk without price. You see, God came into this world to die for sinners such as we, and he didn't say it was going to cost us anything, but yet, in a way, it does cost you. The pride of life and the lust of the flesh and these things which is detrimental to the soul of man. Sin, in other words, things that bring forth sin, and in the results of sin it bringeth forth death. So we got to have this living waters to help us to know which we need to do and by what means we need to do and to serve God in the spirit of truth. We can't do it without his help, my friend. The carnal man is just enemy towards the spiritual of God, and there's no way that we can please him in the flesh. That new waters, that new wine that he speaks of, that is his blood, they're the new wine, but the new wine also can be of the water. You remember he turned the water into wine. So, my friend, we need to realize today and search out the scriptures to find out which is which and what we need to do. We need to receive the Holy Ghost, at which he said that the Holy Ghost was not yet given that day that he stood there and said, if any man come and drink of me, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. He also told the woman at the well of Samaria there that that if she had knew who he was, that she would have asked him to give to her to drink living waters. Well, in a carnal way, she wanted to get that living waters to where she wouldn't have to come to the well and draw. My friend, it's not the thing of drinking the natural water which you and I need every day of our life, because we are made up of water and clay, so we need that water to sustain our life here. But we need that living water to help us to enjoy the life which is hereafter and be brought into the kingdom of God through the rebirth of the Spirit of God, born of the water and of the Spirit. That's why he said that we had, if we believe that he is and was and will be the waters of life, he is the part of the tree of life, he's life himself. In him was life, and he had life to give. So as he made the statement there, he said, they didn't take his life from him. He laid it down. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And that he did after they crucified him. And they laid him in a tomb, and he came alive a third day as he said he would. My friend, and he's alive and alive forevermore. So we need to take into consideration that we need the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that living waters in us to supply that spiritual drink that we need to sustain us in this world of all the things that are happening around today and all the ungodly things that are taking place and the ruthless of the sins of this world that men got into, as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. We need to realize that we need that living water, the Holy Ghost, to bring us forth, to help us to learn what God would have us to do and to abide in him as he abides in us. If we'll abide in him, he'll abide in us. But if we choose not to serve him, he's not going to make you serve him. But when the old final time of judgment comes, you'll wish you had him. So, my friend, today it's time, while that there is life in the body, and while today is day, and before the night cometh on, if you're unsaved, you need to seek ye after the kingdom of God. You can't just merely raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you're on your way to glory, and you're still walking down the same old road that you walked on all the time. It's not going to work just that way. Spiritually speaking, you're going to have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And if we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit's going to lead you and direct you in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake. You're not going to have to walk. If you come out of the hog pen or out of the bars and the juke joints of this world, and if you're really born again, you're not going to have the desire to go back into that. Because you remember the scripture teaches is you can take a hog out of the hog waller, you can wash them and clean them up, but if you turn them loose, they go right back to the mud and waller again. So will a dog turn to his own vomit. So that's not going to be pleasing to God. You're going to have to walk in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake and be a bearer of good fruits and good tidings. And therefore, lifting up the name of the Lord, we're going to have to come to live separately from the world, as he said unto the people there. He said, come out of, he was speaking about the old harlot doctrines and churches and things that teaches another gospel. He said, come out of her, my people, and I will receive you. Be not a partakers of her evil doings and everything. And we know that he's speaking about the Roman Catholicism that he was speaking about. They done all kinds of things. They even go have all kinds of idols and one thing or another, and they try to make statues out of all them and call them priests and princesses and so on and so forth, and saints and so on and so forth. My friend, if you've been born again, really truly born again, as far as the Word of God teaches me, that we have become saints of God. As long as you live in that way of God and let him lead and guide you, you ain't got to wait till you've been dead and then they search out and see if you've done any miracles of anything, and then they declare you to be a saint. God already has done declared you to be one if you're a child of God, if you've been born again. And many of them says that the church went up into glory and the rapture and everything in John the 4th chapter, when he was carried up into the Spirit to write to the churches of Asia at that time. He was there for that purpose. And when he had accomplished these things, he was brought back to the mainland and he died an elderly man. So my friend, if that would be the case, if John was a church and was carried into heaven, was there for a little while, then he came back to earth and died an old man, I don't think so. I don't believe that. As many of them, it goes on and try to separate the church from Israel. When God came into this world, he died for the sins of all men. And he made us joint heirs together with him as us being Gentiles, born again of the water and of the Spirit. The Jewish people was broken off simply because of their denying him and had him crucified. But now that he joined us into that branch, that olive tree, which he is and which he represents, the spiritual life that we have is joined into him, and he has made us joint heirs with Christ. One shepherd and one fold. It's not no separating Israel from the church. Israel was in the wilderness, and the tabernacle was the first part thereof. But now that we have become the church of the living God, which is made up of all them that believe and call upon the name of the Lord, whether he be Jew or Gentile. But speaking of the Jew or the Gentiles, it was only two tribes of Israel that was ever called Jews, and that was Judah and Benjamin. The rest of them was all Israelites, and they all was Israelites. But we have been made joint heirs with Christ and joint heirs together with Israel. My friend, you cannot separate the church from Israel, though we have some people that does and says that even to that the Gentile church will be raptured out when the coming of the Lord and meet him in the sky. And then the Jews are going to go through hell here on earth for another period of 3.5 years or 7 years. And then God's going to come back and get them, and the Jew bride's going to serve the Gentile bride. God is not a bigamist, my friend. He only got one church, and it's made up of all the Christians, all them that have been born again, not of any certain nationality or whatever, but to all them that have received him and come and drank of this living waters, being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And whereby that they speak of the things of God, they don't uphold the things of this world and cater to the things of this world. They come out from among the world to be separated. They're no longer a part of the world, but they're a part of the kingdom of God. He told Nicodemus, he said, unless he be born again, he couldn't even see the kingdom of God. And then he told him, marvel not that I say that you must be born again, or you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Can I, an old man, be born again? Well, if he couldn't understand the things at which Christ was telling, the spiritual things, but he was a ruler of Israel at that time, he should have known. But he finally found out. And before the end of it, I believe Nicodemus became one of Christ's followers. I believe he become a follower of Christ. I do believe that. And I believe that he, one day, we'll all come together into one sheepfold, one shepherd, and Christ will be the shepherd, and he is the true shepherd, and we will be the sheep of his pastures, and so therefore we'll be into the kingdom of God. There's only one way we can do it, my friend, and that's being born again of the water and of the Spirit. We need that rivers of water boiling up within us. The Spirit of God, he came back on the day of Pentecost as a sound of a rushing wind. And there came in there a clothing tongues of fire. Now you'll find in the scriptures I mentioned about water and fire and wind and fire. And we're going to find out that he came there as a consuming flame. But yet when Moses met him on the Mount there at Hebor, and then he seen him in the fiery bush. The bush was not consumed. But many of the people today try to say it was some kind of volcanic fire came up out of the ground and set the bush on fire. Well, sciences have tried to prove that God's word is not authentic for years and years. And each time they've tried to disprove it, it just only proved it to me to be more authentic. Oh, my friend, today, the sciences of this world has caused the downfall of many good people that would have went otherwise, but that's why the scripture says to come out from among it, my people, and I will receive you. You can't believe that all that man says, because man is fallible. The word of God was written to you and I as a guideline into the place that we're in, that Jesus said, I'll go and prepare for you. Now, if you want to go to this place that he has gone to prepare for you, you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to repent of your sins. You're going to have to walk away from the things of this world and receive Christ in you. That living waters to whereby that the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost and they received it. Jesus came back again in the Spirit. And therefore that we got to realize that Jesus spoke of these things of the Spirit and of being living waters. He also told them there that one time there when he was speaking about that Elijah must come first. Well, they questioned me. He said, well, Elijah must. He said, Elijah has already came, and they didn't know him. He came in the spirit of John the Baptist, and he had on a camel's hair for a clothing and a girdle, a leather belt around him as a girdle, and he was in the wilderness and eat wild locusts and honey. But when that bunch of Pharisees, them hypocrites, in other words, he called them, and a bunch of vipers came to him to be baptized, he said, oh, you generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Bring me some fruits of repentance. In other words, you got to repent. You ain't getting in my water and putting all the old cluttered up junk in my water. And so, my friend, today we got to repent first. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost, that he said, when they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved? And he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they all spake the words of God in the language that each person there could understand, and they spoke of the wonderful things of God. This is what pricked their hearts, to see this miracle. Knowingly, they had seen Jesus perform many miracles. After that, the apostles performed many miracles. But miracles within itself, my friend, will not save you just because you may have seen one and you may have received one. Within itself will not save you from your sins. You got to believe on him that is able to perform those miracles, even though he may use the instrument which is before him, which is a man, which we are just molded instruments. We were men molded out of the clay, and he molded Adam out of the clay, and so forth, that we were born of a woman, but yet a woman come out from man, but God chose man to bring forth his word. Jesus Christ became flesh. He was God in the beginning, and he will be God in the end. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and they crucified him. He went into the heavens, where is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. He came back on the day of Pentecost in that sound of the rushing wind, the Spirit. Didn't Jesus mention about the wind goes and the blows, you don't know where it come from, or you don't know where it goes, you don't know where it lives? He spoke of the Spirit. He spoke of being born again. My friend, you need that spiritual birth to make you a child of God. You can't do it without it. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That living water supplies these things for thy whole body. Just as natural water supplies the things that we're in, that the water keeps you alive, it keeps your skin flushed and flexible and everything when you drink it. Just jumping in, it won't do it so good. But when you drink it, then it becomes into your belly and flows to different parts of your body, and it supplies that need, the thirst, and will quench it. The blood also is supplied throughout the body by the veins that are there. And just jumping down out of a swamp somewhere and becoming a man or out of a tree, God created all these things and he made it all. The brain is a more complex thing than even science don't even know about it. But they try to say they do. But they don't know how it functions. Someone said that man only uses about 10% of his brain as it is. But God gave him a mind back then, the mind of God, that he made him in his likeness. Adam named everything that's to be named, and whatever he called it, that's what it is. And he said when God brought Eve to him, a bone out of his rib side, and he said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and he called her a woman. But I want you to understand, my friend, that God created all these things, and he had the rule over it, and he gave man a dominion over the world and these things, but they dropped it off when they disobeyed that one commandment. And God gave the children of Israel 10 commandments, and they broke them all. So how is it that they went and boasted they're the Abraham's seed? Well, Jesus told them, he said, well, if you'd have been the seed of Abraham, children of Abraham, you should have known me before, because before Abraham was, I am. He was the one that spoke to Abraham and told him to get out from amongst his people and go to the land that he would show him. So my friend, it's got to be that living waters has got to be the spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in us. And there is scriptures to prove that. And we need to realize that out of him that come forth was life, and he had life to give. We got to understand that without him we have no life. Or you may be living and talking and breathing, eating and sleeping, but you have no eternal life. The life that we have, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that life will not get us into the kingdom of God because it's human nature. We're sinful. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and we need to be born again. And Jesus came into this world for that purpose, to die for yours and my sin, because we couldn't do it for ourselves. The law couldn't save us. He made that very clear. But Jesus, through his blood, believing and trusting in his blood, faith in the finished works of Calvary, we have the opportunity of eternal life by receiving from God the indwelling spirit of the God, the Holy Ghost, and wherein that we need of that living waters. And we got to understand that Ezekiel was talking about the living waters. It just waters wasn't coming out just any old water. It came out of the house of God underneath the altar, and it flowed on down. But it came down from underneath the gate, right side of the house, and at the side of the altar. And we got to understand that it was unaffected by the times and seasons, and it shall be the water in that day. The living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them unto the former sea, and half of them to the before the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. We know that here recently that the oceans up in there in some parts was freezing over, and they got boats stuck, and up there in the Hudson Bay it all froze over. It kind of hindered things a little bit. But this living waters, the weather doesn't have anything to do with it. But now, if you were Christ, the source of, in John 4:10, he said, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, give to me to drink, and thou would have asked of him, and he would have gave thee living waters. And you know how I said that the woman said, give to me this water of living waters where I won't have to come to the well and draw no more? That's not what he was talking about, my friend. She was thinking about not having to come by and draw water, but Jesus was talking about eternal life that he could give her. And when he goes in, he said, he that there in John 7:37, he said, in the last days of the great feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. That living waters there, my friend, is when you receive the engrafted word of God and been born again of the water and of the Spirit, received of the Spirit of God, it brings life into thee, and you can bring it forth as I'm trying to do today, to encourage you to look to the Lord for life, health, and strength. Because in him, all these things that lie in him, it's not in the man that says, be healed or open your blind eyes, but it's by the Spirit of God, my friend, not in the flesh that man dwells in, but it comes directly from the throne of grace. At living waters is bringing forth that out of his belly, they might say, but it doesn't that. I mean, so much of the belly, anything goes in there, it goes out in the draft. It's not used to the body. Water you drink will be used into the body. Then it goes out into other places. But in so it does with your food. The supply is inexhaustible. Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Making life fruitful. Revelation 22:1, he said, and he showed me a pure river of waters of life, clean and crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the streets and in the either side of the river was there trees of life. There bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruits every month, and the leaves for our healing. I want you to think about it, my friend. Jesus came, he opened blind eyes, he raised the dead, and even Lazarus was dead long enough that he done to start deteriorating and stinking. But when he said, Lazarus, come forth, after they had moved the stones away, he said, Lazarus, come forth. If he'd have just said, dead, arise, everything that was dead would come up out of the ground. But he called, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Why? Because that living fountains of water had spoke to the dead, and the dead rose and came forth. And that's what it's going to be on the day of the time that Jesus comes, and those that are asleep in the dust of the earth, dead in the natural, but them that sleep in Christ, when the trumpet sounds and they're going to come up out of the ground, it's not going to be in that old body that they went down in. But it's going to be in that glorified body, just as Jesus was. Glory to God. It's going to be a glorious day for them that love him and his appearing. But for them that have neglected him, to them that have crucified him, even they're going to see him, the ones that pierced him is going to look upon him. They that refused him is going to be judged according to their deeds. And them that refused him then, they will not have the opportunity, because their sins has gone on before them. And all that they disbelieved in him and they had him crucified, they're going to come forth on a day, but they'll be cast again into hell. And that's the second death. My friend, if we come alive in Christ Jesus on that day of resurrection and we'll live for eternity, we won't have to face up to that kind of a judgment to be cast into outer darkness, as them that's going to come, the dead, then the sins, death, hell, and the grave's going to give up the dead. But even the devil is going to be cast into hell. And somebody said, yet I believe in God. The devil believes also and trembles. How about you? I know that he is able to make this soul live, or he's able to cast it aside into hell. Destroyed in hell. And I believe, and I fear the word of God. I fear him for the simple fact that he said if we fear him, we would love him. And I love him today. How about you? Do you consider taking him into your life as your personal Savior and allow him to come into you to where you can have this living waters springing up into the very essence of your soul. You know, your brain up there is where the heart is. It's where it makes everything function. Take the brain out and that body's dead. You remember here a while back when this lady, whatever it happened to her, that she there, her brain was dead. They pronounced her dead, but the hospitals out there wanted to keep her on this life support for the fetus that was in her. And they finally gave the judge told them to take the plug out. My friend, when the plug is pulled, when God pulls your plug, you're gone. And it's no resurrection without he has part. But there's going to come a resurrection. If you're dead in Christ, them that are dead in Christ shall raise first. And them that remain to be alive shall be changed. The dead shall come forth from incorruption, and the dead that those that are alive and remain shall be born again, or even they from mortality into immortality. And so fleshly body will fall away and turn to the dust, but that soul that liveth forever will be caught up together to meet the Lord into air. That's part of it, my friend. That's part of being born again of the water and of the Spirit. You can't make it without it. It's just utterly impossible. You cannot make it without being born again. And I believe that God's going to bring a judgment upon this world. He's already begun to sprinkle it around a little bit, but it ain't nearly over. It's going to come to be that where it's going to be more things is going to happen. More things is going to be devastating, and the mind of man is going to wonder what's going on. They can't understand now because they think science has all the answers. But my friend, the man that created it all, God himself, made it all, and man has come and polluted his earth and wasted all of his sources and everything on greed, and they'll destroy one another for the price of a dollar, you might say, and he's going to put an end to all of it, where there'll be peace, joy forevermore in the kingdom of God. But in the place that where the devil lives or is going to be cast into, and hell was made for him and his fallen angels, but it has enlarged itself in order to accommodate all them that wants to go there. And believe me, there seems to be a lot of them that'd rather go there than they had to get into the kingdom of God, because they've let the flesh lead them off to all kinds of things, and they plan for years to do this and to do that when they don't even know that tomorrow where they're going to be around or not. My friend, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. If you put off today what you need to do, tomorrow you may not be able to do it, because you may not, if you ain't dead, you may not be able to get out of the bed and do that you thought you would do. But most of all, if you're dead in Christ, then you ain't going to have to worry about it anyway. You're going to arise on that day of resurrection and be ushered into the kingdom of God by his Spirit. Hallelujah. It's going to be a glorious day for them that love the Lord and his appearing. But to all of them that have denied him and won't come to him because of one thing or another, they're going to run for the rocks and the mountains to fall on, throwing their wealth and their money into the caves with the bats. They're not going to make it. Money won't buy your salvation. It's already been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. And he said, come and drink of the waters of life freely. You can come to it and buy it without price. You can receive it without price, because the price has been paid. And my friend, it's up to you. It's up to you to receive it or reject it. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto them that would receive him, he gave them power to become sons of God. How did he give them that power? By the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that living waters that Ezekiel seen coming out from beneath the altar of the house of God, of the temple. And that's what we need. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, because it's going to come some time that we're in. I know a lot of denominations speak against speaking in tongues, but that's to their demise and their unbelief. But I want you to know, my friend, that the scripture teaches us that Jesus told them, when they bring you before the council, and to take no heed as to what you're going to say in your defense, don't plan it, don't even think about it, but it'll be given unto you in the hour that you need it. But it's not you that speaketh, but the Holy Ghost that speaketh through you. And if you cannot believe that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, can speak, and you don't receive it in that manner and believe and trust in it, who's going to speak for you? Your own mouth is going to crucify you or deny you, and the life is be taken away from you and cast into hell. But if you deny him for deny the world and for his sake and live forever, or you can deny him for the world's sake and die twice. It's up to you, my friend. It's come to the place that we're in that we need to think about it. You need to take down the Word of God and to read it for yourself. Don't listen to them people that comes around. You don't need to read it. We'll read it for you and interpretate it, and we'll tell you what it says. They tell you what they want you to hear. But is it the right thing? Is it the Word of God? Read it for yourself. Let me encourage you. Read your Bible. Seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. And if you do that, then you can have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life in this world is, some people think, is Cadillacs and airplanes and all of the wealth and everything they can have, a big bank account. But that abundant life that I'm looking for, my friend, is life eternal. Because one day this old body of flesh is going to lay down. It's going to die one way or the other. It's either going to die and go into the dust of the earth and raise from a corruption into incorruption, or it's going to be changed in a moment, and it's still going to pass away. Flesh and blood is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. Plain and simple. So you got to be reborn again. You got to accept Jesus Christ and that new birth in order to live. But many people today have sold their birthright out for a ball game or for the world and all of its treasures, for the wealth that they can accumulate, for many things. But most of it, it brings damnation to their soul because they fail to believe what the Word of God says. Come ye out from among the world, and be you therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. It's not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. So we got to realize it's going to take the Spirit of God to come into your life at living waters to be into you, that we're in is going to produce the life that Christ had you to have and bring you into the kingdom of God, because without him you can do nothing. Without him you're dead. Without him who? Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace and the Everlasting Father. Glory to God. I want you to think about it, my friend. Consider who you are and who he is. What you are and what he is. He's the Almighty God. We are men or women born into this world and come into sin, shaped in iniquity. But he came into this world as an innocent babe. He came for the purpose to die for you and I. And without that shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. So if you claim the blood of Jesus, walk in the ways that the Scripture tells you to, seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, he said he'd be found. He ain't far from you. All you got to do is let him come to you. Turn away from the sins of the world and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, lying, cheating, gambling, whoremonging, and whatever else, and receive him, the living waters, and allow him to come into your life, and he'll give you peace surpassed all of your understanding. Oh, I don't worry about the things that's going to happen. I'm just praising God for he gave me a light, and I'm trying to walk there in it to the best that I possibly can, and I want him to lead and direct me in that light of righteousness, in the path of righteousness, for his name's sake. And I'm encouraging you, to likewise. It's not that I can save you, my friend, but I'm appointing you to one that can, Jesus Christ, our Savior. God manifested in the flesh, came in here to die for yours and my sins, and in him is life. He has life to give, and he can give you eternal life, but if we stand before him without that blood of Jesus washing our sins away, and we stand before him on that day, we're going to be cast into outer darkness without any hope. So which is it going to be? It's merely up to you. So it's time to take time for Jesus, giving him time out of all of your other things, and giving him worship in spirit and in truth, and repenting and be born again of the water and of the spirit. I pray that we said something other. My wife has got something here, and I'm going to turn it over to her now. But I thank God for those that have wrote to us through various ways of the internet in one thing or another. We just praise God for you and thank God that you're listening, and we thank God for all these things, the good reports that we've had. But we know that there's some out there that's going to be critical, but that's all right. They criticize the Lord too, so whatever you do to me, they done it to him first. So I just praise God for you. Pray that things will go well with you, and you will touch your body, help you from the sinful things and that detrimental to the soul and the man, body, alcohol and all these things that destroys the soul. I pray God will help you and release you from these things and give you victory over them. In Christ Jesus we pray. And giving him the glory and the honor, we said amen and praise the name of Jesus. Here's my wife.
Praise the Lord. I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, I can do nothing. And without him, you can do nothing. I just pray this afternoon that I'll be able to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And we preach Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus. We don't try to lift up ourselves or anything like that. Our goal and our desire is to help you to get a closer walk with Jesus Christ. And this afternoon, I want to share with you so an article I found when I was going through many things. And if you have anything that you would like to share with people out there in the audience, the listening audience and everything, you send it to me, and I'll be glad to share it with you. I just go through everything every day, starting from the time we leave the broadcast today until next week, and try to find something and ask God, would this be what you would have? But this afternoon, I want to read to you a warning. And if you look in your history book, this thing really happened. Maybe not the way the story goes here, but if you'll listen to where it was, and you check your history book, and it was a really, really a fact that happened. All down through the halls of history, God, in different ways, has been trying to warn man of the consequence of his indifference. How foolish he is not to heed God's warning. The warning was given several years ago. A corps of civil engineers came to a little town in Pennsylvania. They went up to a mountain to examine a dam that controlled the waters of the stream that flowed down in the valley. When they came back down, they said to the people of the town, "That dam is unsafe. You in the valley are in constant danger." The people said to them, "You can't scare us." That fall, the men came back and examined the dam again. Again, they said to the people of the valley, "We warn you people again, you are in danger every hour. That dam is going to break." They laughed again and said, scare us if you can. 15 days later, a boy with his horse on a dead run came into the valley shouting, "Run for your lives. The dam is gone and the water is coming." The people only laughed at him, but he did not wait to hear their laughter. He went on down the valley, still shouting this warning. In a few minutes, the water came. In less than 30 minutes after it struck Johnstown, Pennsylvania, read it in your history books, was in ruins, and more than 3,700 of those who had been in the town were dead. You too have been warned many times, frightened many times, yet you sit there and say, scare me if you can. Get me by frighten me if you can. Heed the warning. We're warning you today, and others have warned you also. On judgment day, God's judgment day, you will run and call on the rocks to fall on you and the mountains to hide your soul from God's just fire. God gets the closest to man who is honest with his own soul and feels his need of Christ. God help you who say, I'm not frightened by your threats of Christianity. Listen to us. We are not trying to frighten you. We are trying to tell you the truth of what's happening in these last days. In Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And I'm warning you today that this may be your final warning. Your heart will be harder tomorrow and still harder the next day. Today's the day of salvation. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Trust Jesus Christ today. Tomorrow may never come for you. It may never come for me. But we're trying to warn you that in these last days you need to repent, for Jesus is coming soon. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And I'm warning you today. Today is a day of repentance. Tomorrow may never come. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise the Lord. It's time we take into consideration. That's why I encourage you, my friend, to read your Bible and see what it has to say. Just don't take my word for it. Read the Word of God earnestly and seek after it with your whole heart and see if what we're telling you is not truth or it is truth. My friend, today there's been a lot of stuff going on around the world about this and about that, but the Word of God has told us from the very beginning. And if you look into the Word of God, and you'll see that wherein that Jesus himself spoke about in Matthew, the 24th chapter, about the things and the events are taking place today all around the world. They're happening today, and we got to realize that the Word of God is going to be fulfilled. And I just praise God today to know. And we would appreciate hearing from you. My wife's going to give you the address here now, again, here.
Well, I just pray that something has been said today that'll touch your life and get you closer to Jesus. If you would like to help us, it would be appreciated. If you have something that you would like to send to us, you can send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. If you have a prayer request, or if you would like to send us an email, it would be greatly appreciated. Tell what you like about us. Tell us what you don't like about us. That's fine with us. But the email address is ecompton31@yahoo.com. And if you live in the Tampa Bay area, you would like to go to church on Saturday and Sunday night at 7:30, where the Word of God is preached. We are apostolic, Pentecostal, but if you'll email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com, we will give you the directions to the church on Saturday night at 7:30. Sunday night at 7:30. We preach Jesus, and we don't have no junk to go along with it. May God bless you. Until next week, hallelujah. Look up. Jesus is coming soon.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior.